This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And we're up to chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. And it's interesting because the Apostle Paul says, he begins chapter 3 by saying, for this reason. And so when we look at the book, he uses this a number of times. In chapter 1, verse 15, he says, for this reason, and he goes into prayer for the Ephesians. In chapter 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason, and he goes into a prayer. But now, as we look at chapter 3 in the beginning, we see it says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. And our focus this morning is going to be on this one particular verse, a remarkable verse, for in it we are able to learn how to deal with circumstances. You know, we all experience circumstances, and by that, sometimes they are good, sometimes they are bad, and that's our perception, a good circumstance or a bad circumstance, because we know that they are always good because they come from God. And so far in this chapter, the apostle has told us about the wonderful blessings that we have in chapter 1. He told us we have redemption, adoption, forgiveness, spiritual knowledge, salvation. We have all of these things. And many people who are just reading through this book would not immediately recognize that while the Apostle Paul was writing this book, he was in dire circumstances in some way. He was a prisoner of Rome. And so we begin to look at this idea of circumstances. It is something that many Christians experience in their life. In fact, we all do. And usually when we look at these circumstances and we're engaged in them and they seem to overwhelm us, even the circumstances that we're in now, when we talk about this virus and you have to wear a mask when you go to Home Depot, or you have to stand 6 feet apart when you go to the Wawa and you can't even get your own coffee at Wawa, and these kinds of circumstances. And when we deal with circumstances, oftentimes we say, oh, these are just difficult circumstances, and we become stoic, or we might complain, or sometimes we'll even play the victim, like I am the victim of circumstances, and we conclude that these circumstances are not good. And yet when we look at the Apostle Paul as he's writing this wonderful letter about the good gifts and the great blessings and the Holy Spirit being given to us in this book of Ephesians, many would be surprised that he's in prison. But also, as you look through this letter, you do not see any complaints. You don't see him saying, it's not fair. You don't see him saying, oh, I guess I'll have to put up with this. But rather, when he's in prison, like he is when he was writing the book of Philippians, he says the gospel is going out. And so it does not simply tell us how to deal with the circumstances here, but rather he looks beyond them and recognizes that all of circumstances are dealt and given to us by God. And the key to how to deal with them can be found in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, although the immediate context it is difficult circumstances because of persecution, the principles that we're going to share with you are those that can be used in any kind of circumstance. Because oftentimes we become stoic. Well, that's just the way life is. Or we might become victims and say, oh, poor me, and we become a victim and we think that way and we have a self-pity party and we do all of that. And yet the point I'm trying to make is that when we experience difficult circumstances, what happens is we begin to focus upon ourselves and we become stoic, or we become complainers, or we become victims. And yet throughout Scripture, when we see the Apostle Paul, some of the principles that he applies. I mean, first off, it talks about the reason of his circumstances. He goes, for this cause, and notice he says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles. And here is the first thing he learns about the circumstances. The reason for it is so that the gospel might go out. And interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and the gospel goes out, and it went starting in Jerusalem, and then spread out to Samaria, and then to the other ends of the earth. And basically, as a result of this great preaching and missionary effort of the Apostle Paul, we are here today worshiping the Lord. It is the salvation. Paul was in his present circumstances and he is in prison, and he does not let this circumstance overwhelm him, but rather he sees the reason. He says, I am in prison so that the gospel might go out, that men and women might come to know the Lord. Now, he knew that, but you recognize that all the circumstances are there, like, designed by God so that the gospel might go out. Later on, he's going to talk about the idea of the gospel going out to the Roman guards. They would never have even listened to him before, but now they're his prisoner. He's their prisoner, rather, and what's he going to do? He's going to share the gospel with them. You know, as a result of God saving the Apostle Paul, think about the circumstances that he had experienced. I just made a quick list. He had been imprisoned. 5 times he received 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 3 times he was shipwrecked. 1 time he was stoned. A day and night in the open sea. He was also facing daily dangers from bandits and other Jews and Gentiles, and sometimes even experienced the lack of food. All of this, and still in prison for 5 years, and he had to face the Sanhedrin and 2 Roman governors. He had to go through all of these kinds of things. And his attitude in this difficult situation can be summed up this way in the words found in Romans 8:18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." You see, the Apostle Paul understood that the good circumstances, good according to our standard, they're all good according to God's standard, and the difficult ones, which are still good according to God's standard, are there because God is involved in our life and he has placed us in those circumstances. We learn much from the circumstances that God places us into when we look at them and realize that God has placed us there. I mean, think about some of what circumstances do for us. Let's just, for example, use difficult circumstances. The first thing it does is it confirms our faith. I mean, often we struggle when we become saved and we attempt to live godly, and we run into one circumstance or another, and salvation brings us into a circumstance where we may get laid off because we don't fit in. We're a Christian and we don't work with Christian people, or we might be excluded from family gatherings. I know that when our family became Christians and knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and our entire family became believers and attended church, our family, much of it, excluded us. They did not want us to go to family functions. We were the religious nuts. We were the freaks, so to speak. And, you know, there's a circumstance, but yet when we realized that it's part or confirming our faith, because the reason why they didn't want to be with us, the reason why we might be snubbed at work, the reason why these things occur is because we are living godly, and we say, okay, I'm doing something right. I'm doing something that God wants me to do because he's told me over and over again that I'm going to experience persecution. In fact, if we don't experience persecution, if we're not snubbed once in a while, and I feel silly sometimes talking about persecution in the United States because we don't get that much other than being snubbed or discriminated against in some way. But yet, if we're not experiencing any of those kinds of things, if everybody loves us all of the time, and that's our goal, to be liked and to relate to other believers and to relate to those who do not know the Lord, but yet we're going to experience circumstances, difficult ones, as a result of our faith. Think about it for a moment. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, the Apostle Paul is writing them from prison again, and he says, "It is given to you to believe and to also suffer for Christ's sake." In 2 Timothy 2:3, we read these words, to share in the suffering as good soldiers of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Think about that verse for a minute. So I'm desiring to live godly in Christ Jesus, and as I'm living godly in Christ Jesus, I'm going to experience persecution. But the other side of that coin is, have I ever been snubbed because I was a believer? Now, I'm not saying because I was an obnoxious believer and I was in people's faces and telling them they were going to hell. We need to be truthful of the word. We need to speak the truth in love. But we also need to use our discernment in discussing. We're not to use our work, our employer's time, to share Christ and steal time from him. But rather, there's going to be something about our nature, something about our life, something that is going to be different. And sometimes that's going to be a great attraction, because they can't understand, how can you be so happy in such circumstances? How can you be joyful? How can you seem to enjoy life when you're having all these difficulties? And it's because of our relationship with the Lord and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Circumstances also confirm the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Let's turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to notice what this teaches us about the Spirit's work in circumstances. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. I'll read verses 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Okay, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Think about this for a moment. When was the last time you were in difficult circumstances, particularly for your faith, and you said, you know what? I'm going through this difficulty, but this is the wonderful thing. The Spirit of God is resting upon me. You see, circumstances confirm the Spirit's work, because all of a sudden we step back and we recognize God's Spirit is at work in my life. There's something going on. There's this transformation taking place. I don't talk the same way people at work talk. I treat my family different than my neighbors treat my family. I am concerned about their spiritual condition. All of these things, the way in which we live close to the Lord, we are going to stand out, we're going to be different, and we're going to experience difficult circumstances, because nobody likes a goody-goody two-shoes, so to speak. But yet God has called us to live godly. We must be careful that we are not so consumed with circumstances that we're unaware of God's work in our life, that we're unaware that there is a reason for these circumstances, that we're unaware that God's Spirit rests upon us. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, and I am sure, Philippians being a prison epistle as well, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. And so, circumstances confirms our faith. It confirms the Spirit is resting upon us. And then there is one more, that circumstances confirm our relationship with the Lord Jesus. If we know the Lord and we are in Christ, we are going to experience difficult circumstances, particularly in the area of persecution. Turn with me, again, with your Bibles, if you have them, to John 15. Notice what we read in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, as a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. It confirms our relationship with the Lord. I mean, ask yourself this question. If I am a believer and I am living the way God has called me to live, then what kind of persecution do I experience in my life? What kind of circumstances am I facing? You know, the immediate context of all that I've just shared with you is this persecution. However, we don't want to miss the truth. We do not want to miss the truth that every difficult circumstance, again, as we see it, not as God sees it, but every difficult circumstance has a reason. It's an opportunity to confirm our faith. Think about it. When we are going through life and we're experiencing difficulties, difficult situations, it says it's difficult, but I have the Lord. I'm having a terrible time, but I have the Lord. I'm just beat, but I have the Lord. I am so frustrated, but I have the Lord. You see, it confirms our faith when we begin to recognize that every circumstance is brought about by God's sovereignty, so we might be conformed to the image of his Son. And here we are, knowing that we have him. We have such an advantage over the world. Think about friends and neighbors who do not know Christ, and they go out and they're having such difficult times, perhaps the loss of a loved one, perhaps very ill from the virus. We don't know, but you understand that those who do not know the Lord don't have the Lord, but we as believers have Him. And so what happens in the circumstances, the difficult ones that we encounter, we get all frustrated, we get disappointed, we become stoic, we become victims, and we miss the whole point that God is at work through that circumstance, and that's exactly what I need. That we are going to turn to Him, and as we turn to Him, people will see the difference. People will understand there's something different about Him. There's something different about her. How can they live through this experience and still praise God? It may be trying in our difficult times, but we have the Lord. Psalm 27:1, we read these words. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My light, my salvation, my stronghold. We have all of that. The Lord as our light, our stronghold. We have Him as our salvation in every difficult situation. We also, in our circumstances, have the Holy Spirit's work. It doesn't have to be a difficult circumstance, but yet as we go through life and encounter circumstances, the Spirit is at work in our life. I mean, think about it for a moment. When we come into difficult circumstances, it gives us an opportunity to put into practice the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, what the Spirit gives the believer, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have the opportunity in circumstances to have these kinds of things. So when someone speaks unkindly to you, you can show them Christian love. When you're going through a difficult time, you can be joyful knowing that God is in control. You can show kindness and goodness, and you can be faithful to the Lord. You can do all of these things because it's the Spirit of God working in you, and the Spirit of God would not be working in you this way unless you had a difficult circumstance, unless you were going through difficulty. You see, the difficulty allows us to confirm our faith. The difficulty allows us to recognize and see the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And the difficulty also causes us or brings us to an identification with Christ. And with this wonderful identification, we are so jointly tied together. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands. Jesus knows. He experienced all this, all of these difficulties, yet He was without sin. You see, it identifies us with Christ because we go through the trials and the circumstances and we can do what the Lord Jesus did. We can turn to the Heavenly Father. Think about Jesus, one of the greatest trials He had, going to the cross. And the night before the cross, what does He do? He meets with His disciples and He shares the word with them and He talks with them. And then He goes off alone and He begins to pray. And He says, Father, if possible, let this cup be removed from me. Read the text. It is so dynamic where the Lord Jesus Christ is just coming before God. And that is what we're to do. You see, without difficulty, we would not know or be aware of God's work. When we don't have hard times and we don't have difficulties, we sometimes just live life and enjoy it. But it is through the difficulties, it is through the circumstances of life that we are able to confirm our faith. It is through the difficulties that we recognize and are able to turn to God, who is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. And the more He does it, and the more we go to Him, the more these things continue to grow. And so that is the reason for our difficulties and circumstances, that we might grow, that we might have God as our stronghold, that we might recognize the Holy Spirit's work in our life, and we would recognize that everything in our life has a reason. Paul understood it. He said, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. He said, my whole life is to share the gospel with others. My whole life is to share the gospel with Gentiles. God has called me to this. And it doesn't matter if I was beaten. It doesn't matter if I was shipwrecked. It doesn't matter if I was beaten with rods. All those things are immaterial in terms of my goal, my reason. This is why you're doing this, so that God's purposes might be accomplished and He might be glorified. And certainly We're not going through the same kinds of experiences as the Apostle Paul, but we have experiences and we have difficulties. Recognize that there is always a reason. And sometimes it's just good to step back and say, Lord, what are you doing? I don't quite understand this. Am I to turn to you as my stronghold? Am I to recognize some of the Holy Spirit's work in my life? Is there some reason, something I'm missing about this circumstance that you're using in my life? It just takes a time to reflect, but understand that no matter what your difficulty, no matter what your trial, no matter what your circumstances, there is a reason for it because you are a child of God. The second thing is that when we look at this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul recognized the reality of our circumstances, the reality of his circumstance, but it's going to be ours as well. There is a reality that accompanies every circumstance. Now, when I say that, there are things that we're not always aware of. We see things sometimes differently. When my kids were growing up, particularly my sons, we would sit at the table and we would be having dinner or breakfast, but usually dinner. We'd have dinner together and there was always like a jar of pickles on the table. And so I'd grab that jar of pickles and I would try to open a brand new jar of pickles and I would hold that jar and I would just grunt and groan and just try to open that jar and I just could not open it. And so then I handed it to my son. And I said, I just can't do this. You try. He grabbed that thing and just like that. Of course, you know what took place. I loosened the jar, but I just pretended that I couldn't get it. And so the reality for him is, I'm stronger than Dad. I can open this pickle jar. I can do this. I can do all this. I'm bigger and stronger than Dad. I can't believe it. But the reality is that I was always there leading along and giving and doing and actually setting it up for him. You see, when we talk about the reality of our circumstances, so often we fail to see that the Lord has put us into it. That the reality is that God has placed you there for a reason. He is at work, and we don't often look at the reality. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. Here he is, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two ways of looking at it. The worldly view is this, the one that is false, the one like my child who thinks that they're stronger than Dad. Here, they say, well, you know, Paul's a prisoner of the Roman Empire. How foolish and unwilling he is to compromise so he can get along and just denounce Christ and have an easy life. It's just a tough break, isn't it? He got caught, so he's in jail. But that's the worldly view. This is what happened to Paul. God's view is that he's not a prisoner of the Roman Empire, but rather he's a prisoner of Christ. In fact, the reality is that he's arrested by the Jews, but he's a prisoner of Christ. He was imprisoned by the Romans, but he's a prisoner of Christ. He appealed to Caesar, but he's a prisoner of Christ. You see, the reality is, as believers, we are all bought with a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we belong to him. And whatever happens to us is under his control. I mean, think for a moment. Without the Lord's consent, Paul would not have had all of this occur. It wasn't as though God was not engaged when he was being whipped or when he was being shipwrecked or when he was stoned. God was there and God brought him through those circumstances and he was in control. And Paul saw this as God's reality. This is what God had for him in some way. And without the Lord, we would not experience the difficult circumstances either. Well, with the Lord, we experience these difficult circumstances, I should say. But what is needed is to come to grips with reality. And by that I'm saying is that when we're going through trying times, and I know even now, I mean, they're not the worst of times, but they're very disappointing, they're very trying. But when we're going through these things, recognize the reality of it. And the reality is that God has us. He owns us. We belong to him. He protects us. He is our stronghold, as I said earlier. He is our salvation. He is our light. The reality is that I am there with the Lord and that I am God's at work in my life. We need to come to this grips with reality. Having a divine perspective, as one commentator put it. A total trust in God and his purposes. That's the reality. Or if we want to just put it in a more contemporary way, is wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and realize that the reality is that God is engaged, that God is involved, that God is working in our life. And you say, oh, wow, nice words, but how in the world can we do that? I mean, it's not easy. It is not easy, and I'm not suggesting in any way that it is. But how can we do that? Well, I think there's a couple of things that we can put into practice that we normally do not. For example, remind yourself that you belong to the Lord, that I'm the Lord's. In fact, when I think about this, there's no one in this world who loves me more than the Lord loves me, and I belong to Him. And so even though I am in these difficult circumstances, I belong to Him. I am His. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 puts it this way, "For you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Or what about Romans chapter 8? And you know, it's interesting. We look at this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. And turn your Bibles there with me, will, to verse 28. Romans 8, 28. We read this passage so often. And I thought, you know, we read this. So I was thinking, we read this passage so often. And there's a reason for that. It's because we need it so often. We forget it. We need to remind ourselves. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 and following. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are the called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And to those whom He predestinated, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You see, that is the reality. That is the reality. And as I said to you earlier, we look at circumstances, we say, well, this is a bad circumstance and this is a good one. No, they are all good, for all things work together for God for good. The second thing is to be Christ-centered in our life. I mean, think about this for a moment. We're talking about being Christ-centered. All of our life is to be focused upon the Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Let me give you an example. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to these churches, he says things like this: an apostle of Christ, a servant of Christ, a minister of Christ, a bondservant of Christ, a prisoner of Christ. He is talking about and seeing all of life centered around. His whole life was centered around the Lord Jesus. Talk about his apostleship. I'm an apostle of Christ. Talk about service. I'm serving Christ. Talk about being a bondservant. I am, again, serving Christ. Being a prisoner. I am Christ's prisoner. His whole life was focused, and we need to be more Christ-centered in our life. We do not think about the Lord enough. We don't think about the circumstances He's brought us into. I mean, think about, just for a couple of examples, in talking about having a life, a Christian life, that is Christ-centered. For example, let's say you're at work, and you've got a nasty boss. Nobody likes him, including you. He is a nasty boss. People talk about him. They gossip about him behind his back and all of that. And yet in 1 Timothy 6:1, we're told to honor our employers. And here's the reason. Not that they'll be nice to you. Not that you'll get a raise. Not that you'll get a promotion. But he says to them, honor those who are over you, in this particular passage, so that the name of God may not be reviled. You see, ultimately, we work for the Lord. It is not service, it is not an employment by IBM or by anybody else, but rather, ultimately, all of our work is for the Lord. We're doing it for Him. It is the idea of being Christ-centered in our life. So I'm not going to cheat my boss out of any time. I'm not going to be dishonest in my dealings. I'm not going to gather around when everyone is griping, complaining about the conditions or the boss or all of those kinds of things. And you'll always find that no matter where you work. I'm not doing any of those things. Why? Because my service is to Christ. He is far above my employer. And so I'm going to honor Him. Or what about our home life? Think about this for a moment. When we talk about being Christ-centered, it affects our home life. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus, when He talks about His relationship to the church, talks about the husband's relationship to his wife? Our marriages are to be so distinctly different and Christ-centered that when people see a great, wonderful marriage. They're going to look and see the great and wonderful relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that all the time in Scripture. We are to be lights. We're to shine to the rest of the world. So often when we come into difficult circumstances, we are not considering being Christ-centered. We don't think about Christ-centeredness in our work, in our family relationships, and even in the church. You know, we are here to serve our brothers and sisters in the church. And there is no separation. We are one body in Christ. And so when we talk about being Christ-centered in our life, it involves our work. It involves our family. It involves our church. It involves all of these things in Christ. It's not only a theological term that we say, I am in Christ and I know Him and I'm saved, but it is a term that makes reference to every aspect of our life. I am in Christ at work. I am in Christ at home. I am in Christ at church. I am in Christ, and so my life is going to be uniquely different. That's the reality. That's the reality. Difficult circumstances come, I am in Christ. And then the third way is to reflect on the work of God in your life. You know, we talk about focusing on the Lord, it is to reflect upon the Lord. Frequently, we don't do that frequently enough. Turn with me to Philippians, just a few passages, just one book over from the book of Ephesians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Talking about being Christ-centered in your thinking. Here is the Apostle Paul, again in prison. Unjustly, didn't deserve it. But listen to what we read about in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. And notice what he says here in this passage of Scripture. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you see, he's recognizing reality, he's recognizing God's work in his life, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire to depart and to be with Christ is for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glorify Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Do you understand this Christ-centeredness the Apostle Paul has? He says, everything. If I die and go to heaven, it's good. If I stay here, it is good. I'm in prison, but I'm ministering to these people. I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. I'll be in His presence. You see, all of his life is Christ-centered, is what Christ wants for him. God is at work in every circumstance, and He draws us closer to Him, and we become dependent upon Him. Reflect on the work of God in your life. When you go through a difficult circumstance, or even think of one you've had in the past, you stop and you step back and you say, how has God worked in my life in this way? We all need to know and understand there is a reason for our circumstances. We need to recognize that there is a reality about our circumstances that we often neglect. The reality is that God is at work. It is God who is empowering us. It is God who is enabling us to do things. And then finally, there is a responsibility of our circumstances. Again, an illustration from the Apostle Paul. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. For you Gentiles. You see, the Apostle in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. In Acts 22:21, it says he was sent to the Gentiles. In Romans 11:13, it says an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was at his present circumstance, had a responsibility. He had a responsibility to glorify the Lord so that others might see the truth of the gospel. In Acts 23, here's the words of the Lord to the apostle Paul. It says, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Now, the context of that is Paul's in prison. He's going before the magistrates. He's going on trial for preaching the truth, for being consistently honorable to the Lord and serving him. And then you look at this, and he's not sure what's going to happen. And the Lord speaks to him and says, take courage. You've testified for me here. You're going to testify for me over in Rome. In Philippians 1:13, he says the gospel has become known throughout the whole palace guard. See, God was faithful. Paul was arrested. Paul was placed in prison. Paul was taken to Rome. And as a result of that, there were people in the household of Caesar who knew the Lord. And so circumstances have a purpose because we have a responsibility. And we too have that responsibility. Think about it for a moment. We have a responsibility to do all things to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10, it talks about this whole idea of Christian liberty and what we're to do and what we're not to do. And he concludes by saying this in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is our responsibility. To endure the circumstances. During this virus, it is our responsibility to glorify God. We can't visit someone. We may be able to call them. We may be able to be frustrated. We may be able to send them a text or to write an email to them. But you understand that in this crisis, don't get caught up in the crisis of what we can't do, but be caught up in the crisis of what we can do and what our responsibility is in this circumstance, and that is to glorify God. That's what he has called us to. Even though we're going through this time, it is a great, wonderful opportunity for believers to shine. Why are you so happy? You've been sitting in the house for 4 months. Because I have the Lord, you see. I am Christ-focused. The reality is that the Lord has put me in this house for 4 months. That the Lord has brought about this circumstance in our country so that perhaps this opportunity, I can glorify God by my response. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for every good work and faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what he says? That in Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. We have a responsibility to glorify the Lord in every circumstance. Now I know that many of you who are listening to this message or watching this message have gone through far more difficult circumstances in life than I have. But we have reasons. The reason is for our circumstance, it confirms our faith. It confirms the Spirit's presence and work in our life. It confirms our relationship with the Lord. The reality is that it's brought about that we belong to the Lord Jesus and that he is at work in those kinds of things. And then our responsibility is to glorify God in them. I trust that as we're going through this difficult time, if I could just sum it all up in one sentence, that is focus, focus, focus. On the Lord. We are in these circumstances because he has put us there. May we shine as lights to a crooked and perverse generation. May we be salt to the earth and light to the world. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the things that you have given to us. We are thankful for the example of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, even at this point in time, we have to confess that we are not always so thankful for the circumstances that you have placed us in. May we not see them that way. May we recognize the reason that you are confirming our faith. May we see the reality, Lord, that you have placed us there for a purpose. And may we be responsible and bring honor and glory to you and to your Son, the Lord Jesus. And may this time in our country, in this difficult time, may Christians shine. May we as believers be recognized as those who can handle these kinds of things because they know you and that we are in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.